Psalm chapter 71. Psalm chapter number 71. Psalm 71. Psalm 71. I want you then to stand, if you will. Psalm 71. Stand with me. We're going to read one verse here, and then we're going to look at a few other verses. Psalm 71, verse number 14. Listen to this. It says, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." Now go to Psalm 150, the very last psalm, Psalm 150. And I want you to look at verse number 1, Psalm 150, verse number 1. And I'm going to read to us the entire chapter. The Bible says this, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." This morning I announced the sermon title for tonight, and it is just this, Praise God. Praise God. Folks, we here at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church have an awful lot to praise God about this year. We have seen virtually hundreds and hundreds of people saved. It is rare that we ever go through a Sunday that there are not people walking the aisle trusting Christ. Boy, God has blessed us with this beautiful building and so, so many things. We have a lot about which to praise him. And we're going to talk about praising God tonight. And let's pray. Father, we want you to be exalted tonight. We want Jesus to be uplifted. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy to be honored. Now, Lord, tonight we certainly, certainly want you to be in the limelight. So, God, tonight I pray that you'd get glory to yourself. Help all of us to concentrate on you and the fact that you deserve to be praised. Make this night a good one for yourself, please. Holy Spirit of God, put that limelight right on Jesus. And might we leave here tonight realizing that the Spirit of God is in this place because Jesus is exalted, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. David wrote most of the Psalms. David wrote Psalm 71:14, where it said, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." And so, you know, that statement that David made where he said, "I'm going to praise thee more and more," it comes true in his life. In the early Psalms, David wrote, but he used the word praise very, very sparingly. So if you get to looking at the starting of David's writing in Psalms, he didn't use the word praise a lot. But when you get to the last five Psalms, he used it an awful lot. And where he said, "I will praise thee more and more," it comes true in the Scripture. You might say, well, why would that be so? Well, let me tell you, if you're a Christian that's right with God, the longer you're saved, the greater you realize God is. If you're a Christian, if you're right with God, the longer you're saved, the more you see His mercy and His goodness and His kindness, and the more we realize what a terrible hell He saved us from and what a wonderful heaven He has made available to us. So there's more and more to praise Him about. But we see this crescendo of praise in the writings of David in the Psalms. By the time you get to the last five Psalms, you see him using the word quite frequently. The word praise is used five times in Psalm 146. The word praise is used seven times in Psalm 147. The word praise is used 11 times in Psalm 148. The word praise is used six times in Psalm 149, and then when you get to the very last psalm, Psalm 150, the word praise is found 13 times. In other words, 42 times he used the word praise in the last five chapters, and all five of those chapters begin with "Praise ye the Lord" and end with "Praise ye the Lord." I would say David, when he predicted in Psalm 71:14, he predicted, "As I get older, I will praise my God more and more." You definitely see that that came true in his life. There's a little song that we're going to use off and on through the sermon tonight. The song is a song of praise. Brother Edwards, why don't you come and let's sing it through a couple times. And I hope you all, now listen, if you don't know the song, you're going to learn it quickly. We're going to sing it more than one time tonight. So if you'll listen, you'll catch on. And as we sing it a few times throughout the sermon, I think you'll be able to participate.
Praise Him, praise Him. Ready? Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down. One more time. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down.
And God deserves that praise. God wants us to praise Him. And throughout the Scripture, we're told to praise Him. Every born-again believer needs to praise the Lord. Hey, not just for the Lord's sake, although He deserves the honor. He deserves the praise. But you know, praising benefits you. Praising changes your attitude. Praising can take a bad day for you and turn it into a good day. I said this recently in a sermon. You can praise your way out of depression. You just start looking at what God's done for you. Stop looking at what the devil did to you. Start looking what God did for you. And before long, you can make a sad day into a glad day. There are benefits to praise. Well, who in the world should praise the Lord? I got to looking at the Scripture. I found that in Psalm 74:21, God said the poor and the needy are to praise the Lord. I found that kings, according to Psalm 148, verse 11, the kings, the princesses, the princes, and the judges are supposed to praise the Lord. I found that both young and old alike are to praise the Lord in Psalm 148, verse 12, which means this. Some of you young people, you watch the older people and they praise God, and every once in a while you'll see a man say amen and you'll see someone get excited about the things of the Lord. Young people, you serve the very same God that we serve. There's not one God for the young people and another God for the older people. We serve the same God. The same God that saved me from hell, saved a 12-year-old from hell, and saved a 6-year-old from hell. We all ought to praise God. The Bible says in Psalm 148, verse 12, men and women alike are to praise God. In Psalm 67, verse 3 and 5, it tells us that all the people should be praising God. In Psalm 148, verse number 2, the Bible tells us that the angels are supposed to praise God. I love this because if you read Psalm 148, verses 1 through 7, God begins to even speak of nature and how nature will praise God. He said the sun will praise God, and the moon will praise God, and the stars should praise God, and the fish should praise God. If you're ever at the aquarium and you're looking at the fish and you're watching their mouths do this, you say, what in the world are they saying? They're probably saying, praise God, praise God. Praise God. The Bible teaches us that even nature is going to praise God. The animals, according to Psalm 148, verse 8 through 14, the animals are going to praise God. And the hail is going to praise God. And the snow is going to praise God. It didn't say we had to praise God for the snow. It said the snow would praise God. Even the insects are to praise God. Leah, in Genesis 29:35, said this, now will I praise the Lord. Isaiah said in Isaiah 25, verse number 1, I will praise the Lord of hosts. The prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 33:11, praise the Lord of hosts. Paul and Silas, they were in jail in Acts 16:25, and the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas all of a sudden just began singing praises and started praising God at midnight. The Levites sang and praised God in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 3. The Levites, that was the tribe from which God chose the men of God and the priests. Peter said this in 1 Peter 2:9, that ye should show forth the praises of Him. Folks, you know, I don't think we praise God enough. I think we've got a good God, and he ought to be told that we have a good God. Our God takes care of us. And again, listen, I understand hardship, and I understand hard times, and I know that the devil gets on us and gets our spirits down, but I've got to tell you, folks, God told us we need to praise him. And praising God will make a difference. Praising God in your home will make a difference in the spirit in your home. Praising God in your heart will make a difference within your own heart. Praising God in a church will make a difference in a church. And I'm not talking about out of control, rolling in the aisle, acting wacky and stupid. I'm talking about sincere, godly praise. Now listen, I'm not going to let the healers, feelers, and squealers steal away from me the importance of praising God. I mean, we're supposed to praise God. Now, we're not supposed to become so emotional that it's just a big emotional show. That's not it. But I think you and I should sincerely and with a pure heart praise God for what God has done for us. Let's sing that song again.
Praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime. Praise him, praise him when the sun goes down.
I think when we get to heaven, those of you that don't spend much time praising God, you're going to be startled a little bit. Because when we get there, we're going to be praising God. If while we're singing, you won't sing, let me tell you something. Your face tells me a real big story about what's going on in your heart. I mean, honestly, if you're saved, you might want to tell your face to respond like somebody that's not on their way to hell. Oh my, when we get to heaven, there's going to be some praising of God going on. He'll be glorified. He'll be exalted. He'll be put on that throne where he belongs. Some of you, what you got to do, you need to praise God so you get warmed up for what heaven's all about. You might say, well, preacher, why? Why should we praise God like that? Well, first of all, according to Psalm 103, verse 3, the first part of the verse, I'll call it 103:3a, because of his forgiveness. So you understand, when you got saved, he forgave you of all the sins of your past. He forgave you of the sins of your present, and he went ahead and forgave you of the sins of your future. That's worth praising God about. That's worth praising God about. But not only that, in that same verse, Psalm 103, the Bible teaches that we should praise him because of his healing. You may not know it, but everybody here has been healed numerous times by God. You say, but no, preacher, I've never been diagnosed with anything terribly wrong. I've got news for you. You don't know what you had, and you don't know when God stepped in. And even though you went to some clinic or some doctor and they gave you an antibiotic and you got better, they used God's stuff to make that antibiotic, and there's nobody ever been healed from anything unless the God of the universe, which is the great healer, reached down and touched that body and healed it. There are some of you that you'd be blind today if it were not the healing power of Jesus Christ, and you'd be lame today if it were not for the healing power of Jesus Christ, and you'd be deaf today if it were not for the healing power of Jesus Christ. And there's some of you blondes, you're dumb today. And listen, there's the healing of Jesus Christ. And Psalm 103 verse 3 tells us that we could praise him because of healing and praise him because of forgiveness. Hey, Psalm 103, the last part of that verse, it says that God gave you and I a chance to have useful lives. God gave you and I a chance to be productive for him and for his cause. You realize that when we serve God, the God that deserves to be served, he's going to turn around and reward us for doing what we ought to do for no reward. What a good God. We ought to praise God for allowing rewards. Hey, he gave all to make sure that we could be saved. And then he turns around and says, and you know what, I'll reward you if you serve me. That's worth praising God about. In Psalm 103, it tells us we should praise God for his mercy. You say, what kind of mercy? Well, the kind of mercy that helps you to be alive tonight instead of dead. You say, you think I deserve to be dead? We all deserve to die and go to hell. That's what we deserve. But because of the great mercy and the kindness and the goodness of God, we don't have to go to hell. In Psalm 103, verse number 5, God tells us we ought to praise God for our food.
Amen.
Amen. We just came through the food season, folks. You ought to praise God for the food that God's given you. In Psalm 103, verse 5, it also tells us that we should praise God for the strength that He has provided. You know that when you woke up this morning, God gave you the strength to get out of bed. And God gives your lungs the strength to breathe in and breathe out and breathe in and breathe out. God gave your legs the strength to take a walk, take a step with your right foot and then a step with your left foot. God gave you the strength to take that fork when you were shoveling that food in over the last 5 or 6 weeks. All the strength in your arm came from the God of the universe that gave you the arm, that gave you that power to be able to even eat the food. You see, God deserves to be praised because of His forgiveness, because of His healing, because He's given us a chance to have a useful life. He deserves to be praised because of the mercy that He has shown us in our life. He deserves to be praised because of the strength that He provides for us. He provides the rain that gives us the grass, that gives us the crops that we eat. Psalm 147, verse 8 tells us He provides the clouds, He provides the grass, and we should praise Him for those things. Psalm 147, verse number 14 says we should praise God because of the peace that He provides in our hearts. Oh, not everybody's life is always peaceful, but let me tell you something. The peace that we do have is provided by the God of the universe, and there's a whole lot more peace available than what people accept. If you don't have peace today, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. God provides perfect peace. He said, hey, He'll provide perfect peace for those whose mind is stayed on Him. Say, stayed on what? The fact that He's a great God and He's good to you and He loves you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Hey, God's a good God. God provides for broken hearts. Psalm 147, verse number 3. The Bible says that God heals broken hearts. There are people in here, you know exactly what I mean. There have been times in your life where your heart was devastated and you were at the lowest, and your heart was broken, and you wondered, can I ever smile again? Can I ever laugh again? But you know something? God comes along, and He heals hearts, and He makes it so we can laugh again, and that we smile again, and that we can enjoy life again. Hey, I'm glad that He loves the outcast, because Psalm 147, verse number 2, the Bible says He loves the outcast. That's something worth praising God about. Brother Edwards, let's sing the song again.
Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down.
I think God deserves to be praised. There is so much that God does. You know, there are things that God will do for us. We can't even fathom how great God is. Like I said about the illnesses in life, there are people in this room, you've had an illness, you didn't even know you had it. God stepped in and healed you before you ever knew you had it. You could have been dead a long time ago. But there are daily blessings. I think if we all got to heaven and God showed us every time that He bailed us out, we would just be amazed. There have been times that you could have been killed on the street out here while you were driving your car. You didn't even realize how close you were to death, but God's angels took care of you and God salvaged you and kept you safe. There have been times when there have been close calls and issues in life that God has spared you from. He deserves to be praised. You say, well, preacher, how in the world will we praise Him? Well, according to Psalm 63, verse number 3, we praise Him with our lips. You say with our lips, yes. You know, I think there might be times when you won't just shout. You might be somewhere where shouting might be just a little bit inappropriate. But boy, you can always mouth it. You can always say, praise God, thank God for what just happened. That is a wonderful thing. Then, he says in Psalm 63, verse 5, we should praise Him with our mouth. Now the lips, that's where I might just voice it. But I can't shout at the top of my lungs. But there are times when we can say praise God with our mouths, with our voices. And some of you men, it wouldn't hurt you every once in a while to praise God in church. I know some of you are henpecked and you're afraid to speak up. But go ahead and cut loose and every once in a while praise God for what God is doing in your life. So we can praise Him with our lips, Psalm 63:3. We can praise Him with our mouths, Psalm 63:5. And just as David said, he said in Psalm 71:14, as I grow older, I will praise Him more and more. Notice, it's not less and less, it's more and more, because we realize how great our God is. I've realized something. The closer you get to God, the greater He gets. I mean, the more you learn about Him, the more you say, wow, I don't know as much about Him as what I thought. And the longer you've been around God, the more you'll see His greatness and His goodness and how pure He is and how holy He is. God deserves to be praised. We're to do it with our lips. We're to do it with our mouths. We're to increase. Hey, that means you and I are to grow in the Lord in regard to our praise. In Psalm 119, verse 164, it said, I'll praise Him seven times a day. You say, why? Well, the number seven is God's number of perfection, or God's number of completion. You know, God created the earth. On the seventh day, He rested. Listen, wouldn't hurt you if you would maybe seven times a day just decide you're going to praise God. That might make your day go better. Did you know if you wake up in the morning and you praise Him in the morning and you say, you know what, this is going to be a good day. What would happen if about noon you praised Him again and about 2 o'clock in the afternoon you praised Him again? My old pastor, seven times a day, would have a spell where he would praise God, and seven times a day he would ask God to fill him with the Holy Spirit. He said, I needed to be reminded seven times a day. What would happen if we set, you know, we've got these newfangled telephones and they've got alarms and all these devices. See that beautiful woman on there? That's my wife. She's my screensaver and my lifesaver. But you know, you've got that telephone and we've got all these devices today. What would happen if you set your phone so seven times a day, your alarm would go off and somebody would say, what is that? Is it an appointment? You said, yes. It's an appointment. I'm going to take just a moment and go somewhere and have yourself a little spell. And just remember, you're still saved. You're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. You've got a Savior. Your God is the God of the universe. And you've got a lot of good things going for you. That is if you'd like to have a good attitude. If you'd like to have a good attitude, you need to take the time to praise God. You do it with your lips. You do it with your mouth. You do it more and more as you mature in the Lord. You could do it seven times a day. I believe we praise God when we live in a holy way. I think when you and I live right, that brings praise and honor to the Savior. I think it's a good way of praising God. I know this. There are some wonderful examples in the Bible of those that praise the Lord. David praised the Lord when the Ark of the Covenant was returned to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Let me tell you the story quickly. The Ark of the Covenant pictured the power, the presence, and the blessing of God upon God's people. That Ark belonged with God's children, but it had been captured. It had been stolen away. And they were miserable without it. And let me tell you something. If you're miserable right now, it may be the absence of God in your life. But you get God in there where He's supposed to be and exalted, where He's supposed to be exalted, there'll be blessing in your life. But they were miserable because the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen. And that power had been taken. But I'll tell you what, the Bible says when the Ark of the Covenant came back, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, everybody was shouting and praising God. Why? The power of God had been returned to those people. And maybe, may I ask you a question? Has this year been a good year for you? Maybe has God touched your life? Has God rekindled a fire inside you spiritually? Someone said to me the other day, they said, Pastor, my spiritual life has been refreshed since I came to Twin Rivers Baptist Church. My life had become a little drab and boring spiritually, and it was kind of a chore to go to church, but I came to church and God started getting a hold of my heart, and I seen the movement of God in the church service, and I seen people getting saved and happy people and good people, and they loved God, and you could tell, and it was real. And they said, my spiritual life has been refreshed. You know what? That's almost a picture of the returning of the Ark of the Covenant. When that Ark was gone, it was miserable for the people. But when God's power was brought back into place, it was refreshing. We ought to praise God. You ought to praise God if you say, I've had a spiritual refreshing. I'm more excited about coming to church than I have been in years or maybe in my life. That is something to praise God about. Do you realize how many people go to church and it's morbid for them? They don't want to go to church. They don't care to go to church. And so you know, that's not God's fault. That's not God's fault. But let me tell you, there are people that when they go to church, they don't, I've got to go to church. Okay, kids, let's go. We've got to go to church. Oh, no. We get to go to church. Let's go down there and see what God's going to do. Let's go see what the preacher has to say. Let's go visit God's people. We have something about which to praise God. Paul and Silas praised the Lord at midnight. They were in jail according to Acts 6:25. They'd been put in jail for their stand for God. They were persecuted for the truth. Did they get depressed? No. Did they get discouraged? No. Did they get disillusioned? No. What did they do? They started singing it at midnight. They praised God, and they actually praised God that they were honored that they would have to suffer for His name. I remember this. How many of you ever heard of Lester Roloff? Would you raise your hand? Lester Roloff had homes, and he would take rebellious teenagers in, and they would try to help them in their lives, and had the and these homes, the state got all over them about it. Now they were changing lives, and but the state came and said, you know, you don't know what you're doing, and you're going to have to do it our way. You know something? If the church starts doing things the state's way, we're going to mess the church up royal. We're to do things God's way, and the state needs to keep the state's nose in the state's business. Let them go mess up their stuff, but leave God's alone. But boy, they came and they told Lester Roloff, said, you're going to have to accept a license from the state to have that children's home right there. He said, I'm not doing it. They said, you'll go to jail. He said, then you'll have to put me in jail because you are not going to tell me how to help the people God gave me to help in my ministry. And they put him in jail. My pastor went to visit him, flew to Texas and went to visit him. Said he walked in. He said, Brother Roloff, you could hear him. You could hear him. You walking toward his cell. He's in there just a singing, laughing, carrying on. Been winning everybody to Jesus Christ in all the cells beside him. Said he walked in, and Brother Roloff had a big piece of paper hanging by his bed that said, "Praise God anyhow." You know what? In jail, Paul and Silas said, "We're going to sing," and Brother Roloff sang in jail. What were they doing? Praising God. Let me tell you something. Being in jail for the cause of Jesus Christ, that's better than being in hell. That gives you something to praise God about. Moses praised the Lord after the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15. The children of Israel had been in captivity to Pharaoh and in Egypt. They were virtually slaves. But God delivered them from that captivity, and they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. And I'm not going to go into the entire story there, but the Bible says when they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, they got on the other side, and you know what God did? God said, Moses, stop right there. Moses stopped, and they stopped and sang a song. They stopped to praise God. I don't know what they sang, but I'll promise you, it's probably something like this song. Brother Edwards, let's sing it again.
Praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down.
I picture Paul and Silas singing a song, something like that, at midnight. I know this, we just came out of the Christmas season, and we know that the shepherds praised the Lord at the time of Jesus' birth, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 20. The birth of the Messiah had been prophesied starting all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. God had promised us a Savior, and when God's promise came true, they praised Him. Folks, do you realize how many promises God has made to you, and those promises have come true? You know, God promised you if you'd put your faith in Him, He'd save you and take you to heaven someday. That promise will come true. God has promised us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and that promise has come true. God has promised you if you'd be faithful to Him, that He'd be faithful, and He has been faithful to you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's never turned His back on you. God hears your prayers. God said He would love you no matter what, and I'll tell you something, that promise is true. If everybody else in the whole wide world were to forsake you and leave you and turn their back on you, your God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You will always have Him. You might not be able to reach me on the phone. You might not be able to reach Mrs. Owens on the phone. You might not be able to reach Brother Edwards on the phone, but you will never not be able to reach your God. He said, I will always be available. I can always hear you when you call. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God keeps His promises. God promised us a Savior. We got a Savior. I'll tell you this also. He's coming again. The Bible teaches very clearly Jesus is coming again. And I realize there's turmoil right now about ISIS and all the terrorists and everything. Well, I've got real good news for you. They do not not win in the end. They may terrorize us some, but we have a mighty captain, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and Jesus Christ is going to come back, and we win in the end. We are on the winning side. We have the victory. Victory is ours. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. I've read the last chapter of the book, and it says, we win. That's something worth praising God about. The early church in the book of Acts praised God. They praised God in Acts 2:47. Jesus had been crucified. He had risen from the grave. The church was following His command to preach and to have souls won and to live holy. And you know what? Revival was breaking out. They say at that time, probably 65,000 people in that New Testament area where the New Testament Church of Jerusalem, nearly 65,000 people had gotten saved in a matter of just a few months. I'll tell you, that was an exciting thing. But the Bible says in Acts 2:47, they knew to praise God. Now I'll tell you something, we've been experiencing revival in our church. Boy, we see good thing after good thing after good thing happen. We ought to praise God for His goodness to the children of men. Hey, if there's a church anywhere in this county that ought to be praising God tonight, you're sitting in it. I mean, we have watched what God has done, and we've watched person after person after person get born again. And we've watched God miraculously meet our needs. The miracle of our building, it's just almost awesome. You tell most people the story, and I wonder sometimes if they really believe that God could do what God did. Dr. Barry said the other night, he said he came in here, looked at this building, and he said, it's not fair. It's not fair. God is in it. God deserves to be praised for what He's doing at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. They were praising God for God's work. Look, folks, if we'll obey the Bible, then God, He's going to do what He promised He would do. Those that were healed back in the New Testament, you see them praising God. In Acts chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, there was a lame man, and he was lame from birth. They brought him to the temple. Peter and John were there, and Peter said, such as I have, I'll give unto you. I don't have any gold or silver. And this fellow said, what do you have? Peter said, I've got Jesus. He said, give me a dose of that. I'll tell you what, this fella got a dose of Jesus, and the Bible says he leaped up, started running around, praising God for what God had done. There are people in this room tonight, there are lives in this room tonight. You could have been dead in the last couple years, but you're alive. God spared you. There are people in here that have had very, very serious heart attacks. There are people here, I'll tell you what, just the thought that Mrs. Croom is home, it's a miracle. There have been a couple times, preacher, I thought we were going to lose her. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I think anybody that went to visit her on those a few occasions, it was serious. But you know what? The great God of the universe reached down and He said, I've got my eye on a group of people down there at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church in New Bern. They're praying and they're fasting and they're pleading with God to salvage a life and to see something happen. And God reaches down and does it. You know, I think God deserves to be praised. In your life, if you'd take the time, you'd have so much to praise Him, you wouldn't have time to moan and groan so much. Let's let 2016 be a year where we praise God. And again, I'm not talking about conjuring up some weird spirit and just having an emotional uproar. I'm talking about sincere, heartfelt praise for the great God of the universe. I think He deserves it. Brother Edwards, let's see if there might be a few other verses to that song, and let's lead the people, and let's just sing it for a few moments.
Now I need you to smile when you sing it. Here we go. Ready? Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down. Serve Him, serve Him, serve Him, serve Him in the morning, serve Him in the noontime, serve Him, serve Him, serve Him when the sun goes down. Love Him, love Him, love Him. The sun goes down. Praise Him. sun goes down. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down.
That may be some of the best advice I could give you to launch into 2016. Let's just praise God. And if you'll do that, it'll help your attitude, it'll help your spirit, it'll help you at work, it'll help you at home. It'll even help when the mother-in-law is visiting. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight you've heard the sermon. Maybe you need to take a moment and come to the altar and just praise God for a second. I don't know. If you need something of the Lord tonight, we'll have an altar call. You've heard the sermon. Do you need to take a little time to look a little closer at your life? Is God getting the praise that He deserves? Brother Hollinger, play something for us. The altar is open if you need a moment. Would you come? All you notice is what you don't have in life. Do you notice what God's done for you? Praise Him. He's worthy. He deserves to be praised. Continues to play, might I remind you, he said in Psalm 150, he said, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and the harp, praise Him with the timbrel and the dance, praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God. There's some of you might need to go home and draw you up a little sign like Brother Roloff had in his jail cell. You're going through a tough time. You might need to hang a sign that just says, praise God anyhow. Praise God anyhow. You know, what you're going through does not change the fact that God deserves to be praised. All look right this way.